Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Happy Friday on this very hot July Friday night. Dr. Allen and I are here, and we're going to chit-chat. I've got nothing to tell you about this week except for to say, Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
I love it, and I want to talk to people.
Awesome. Well, we do have some messages on our Facebook, and we do have some emails. But I wanted to ask you first how your week's been.
My week is fine. It's really interesting when you do something for 40-plus years, it really ties together. And there's a great book called The Outliers by Gladwell, one of my favorite authors.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, if you do anything 10,000 times, you're going to be a success. Well, guess what? I won some cases this week. You know, and winning them means that the people benefited for talking to me.
Oh, yes.
Got it? And so I'm thinking, wow, I'm learning this stuff. And I thought, Gladwell's 10,000 times.
Exactly. Okay, so here's one of our first questions, and this one came in via email. There's a guy I recently hooked up with. No intercourse, no sex. He and I have a bunch of mutual friends, so he's not a stranger. However, we live in different states, and he's giving me mixed signals, and we have a call. So, Will, I'll come back to this one and take the call. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Kelly. Welcome back. We missed you last week.
Thank you so much. I want to say thank you to everybody who sent me the hugs and kisses, and come back soon. That was awesome. Thank you.
You are welcome. I have a question for Dr. Allen. I just kind of want to know, I mentioned this before a few weeks ago, if you remember, that I had crossed the line with a guy friend of mine. No sex, no intercourse. He lives in another state. I live in one state. He lives in another. We crossed the line. And after that, we've kind of kept in touch via text message and then periodically talking on the phone. Well, last week I asked him, well, what happened when you came into my town for work? Like, where did that leave us? And after I asked him where that left us, he said, well, if you lived where I live, things would be totally different. But because you don't, I want things to evolve organically. And basically, it just shifted the whole thing. And now I don't know what to do, because now I'm kind of mad that he acted like he was so interested when he was here with me. We spent the night together, and again, like I said, we didn't have intercourse. We didn't have sex. We just cuddled and kissed and everything. And
yes.
I just don't know what to do. I feel like I put my foot in my mouth when I asked him where we stood. So I just kind of want to get Dr. Allen's, I guess, opinion on, like, well, what should I do? And I should say also he's divorced. He has been married before, and he's in his mid-40s.
Well, why not just wait for him to decide what he's going to do with you? You've obviously made yourself available because you said, where do we stand? And you've been affectionate with each other, so you've got the chemistry checked out. But unless you want to be the man...
I don't.
Okay.
I definitely don't want to be the man.
Then just passive, patient, and vulnerable. Don't ask for more, better, different love, more, better, different time, more, better, different affection, or more, better, different sex.
Plus, Dr. Allen, didn't he give her a clue when he said he wanted to see how things developed organically?
Yes.
Yeah.
But very often...
And that's... I'm sorry.
Very often what they're saying is, I'm going to signal you that you can come and get me, darling, but if you don't come and get me, I may not want to get you because I've got women chasing me and I don't need to be chasing anybody. So, is he a man that you're attracted to and want to relate to? It sounds like it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, how about you admit it to yourself and you signaled him and now turn the ball or both of them over to him?
Okay, and that's what I've done. Like, but the thing is, it's hard for me to be nice. Like, I guess I switch between being angry and being hurt. So when he texts me or calls me, just hearing his voice makes me upset. So I'm not rude, but I'm very cold. I'm not the friendly person that he knows me to be.
Well, what you're doing is showing him. You're giving him the pleasure of your pain. That only gives him reassurance. You know, the worst thing you can do to a man, especially when he does things like stand you up or not, whatever, is to not notice. Because he inevitably would say, you know, I didn't make that date the other night because I was busy. I know that. Things happen. When you don't react to their faux pas, they really don't like it because they're doing it in order to see how much temperature they can get out of you. So may I suggest that when you're mad, go get a piece of paper, write his name on it, and stick pins in the paper. Get it out. But don't take it out on him.
Gotcha. So I guess my last question is, when I asked him where we stood, do you think that that basically pushed him into a corner? Like I said, I didn't say where do we stand. I said, where does this leave us now that you came to New York and you were very affectionate to me and I felt something in the moment? Where does that leave us? Like, do you think that if I didn't say that, things may have been different? Or
yes, different. I'm going to tell you something. Once you give them the pleasure of your pain, they can really pull away. They can really go passive-aggressive. So I'm afraid you showed too much pain and he got too secure, and now you've got to wait 8 weeks to see if he neurobiologically wants to meet with you again.
But I wasn't in pain when I asked him where we stood. Like, he called me and he was just like, hey, beautiful. And we were just chit-chatting. And
no, darling,
he started talking about my town, and then that's when I asked him. But I wasn't in pain. I was actually happy-go-lucky.
When was the last time you said to a new girlfriend, where do we stand? When was the last time you said that to a girl?
I haven't. I don't think I've ever said that to any of my girlfriends.
Do you know
actually.
The reason? Because what you asked him was a sexually based question. That was the pleasure of your pain.
How was that sexually based? I'm confused.
Well, when was the last time you asked a girl where you stand?
I haven't. I know where I stand with my friends. Like,
we're
good friends. So
if you were with a lesbian and you were interested in her, you would say, where do we stand? You signaled him that you wanted more than a friendship. And the fact you wanted something meant that he was supposed to be a girl and figure out how to please you, mama.
Oh, boy. Okay.
You were interviewing him. Who interviews who in the beginning of a relationship?
The man, and I know this, and I didn't do that. Okay.
You know
what? Yes, I know the man interviews, yeah.
Well, you interviewed him with one sentence, but it was powerful enough for him to go passive-aggressive and not answer you, whereupon you felt in pain, and now you're talking to me about it.
Right, because I guess for me, because he and I never discussed this, like, he came to my town for work, we messed around, we hooked up, and then it was like the elephant in the room. Then neither one of us ever addressed it, but then he's talking about, and I know you say don't mix work with pleasure type of thing. He started talking to me about possibly doing something for him work-wise or whatever because I have my own business. So he said, oh, well, maybe I could use your company to do X, Y, and Z. And it just got so convoluted in that I was just kind of like, yeah, that would be...
It didn't get convoluted. It got controlling. He was seducing you into servicing him on many, many levels.
Right.
And
that's what led me to ask him where, like, I was like, well, what is this? Where does this leave us? Because I started to feel weird to take money from him if I was going to be, like, working, doing something for him. That hasn't happened. Like, I'm not working for him or anything like that, but it was just something that he had mentioned, possibly doing something for him for a client of his. So... you know, that's why I brought it up, because I felt like it was the elephant in the room that we never addressed. So that's why I wanted to find out, like, we never talked about what happened when you came into my town, why can't we, you know, talk about it? I want to know, like, where his head was at. I didn't want to continue.
You know what? Do you realize how many wants you say?
I know.
You're
like
very, very masculine. And I have no problem with that. But I think a man who's a man will.
Right. And I didn't express all of this to him. I'm saying it's you, but I was kind of being very passive and very beta to him.
The statement, where do we stand, is so classically an inventory about romance that it's really, you gave him a lot of security.
Wow. Okay. So basically it's nothing I can do until, you know, for the 8 weeks until he decides to reach out to me. If he does, he's been reaching out to me, just saying hello and stuff like that, but it's been much more withdrawn.
We communicated last two, three days ago
was the last time we communicated.
We are
in communication.
Well, be friends until he wants to change.
8 weeks, you gotta wait. We gotta go. Call back,
okay?
Sounds
good, guys. Thank you. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Thank you. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello. What can I do for you?
Yes. Hi. Thank you so much. So here's my question. A man was dating me. We were dating for almost 2 months.
Ooh,
and
good. Almost completed the perfect period.
Yeah, I know. Well, it wasn't so perfect, Dr. Allen.
Well, you got imperfect faster.
Yeah. So about maybe 3 weeks ago, we decided to have a contract and be exclusive, for monogamy. And, you know, he did tell me that one of his fears that he is divorced.
Wait a minute. Did you discuss long-term goals? Monogamy,
yes.
Continuity,
and
longevity.
He had asked me what I was looking for in terms of, like, a relationship, and I told him that I shared with him I had been engaged before, but I was looking towards being married.
Got it.
Marriage,
okay.
And kids was something I wanted.
I'm happy. Go ahead.
So basically he had shared with me that one of his fears was that he was afraid he was going to hit an emotional wall because of his divorce. It was a painful divorce, a lot of money lost. She had cheated on him, and he had shared all that with me.
Okay.
And unfortunately, we hit a wall this week, and last night...
What wall?
He told me that he doesn't think he can see me anymore. He had received some bad news about a surgery he was going to have, and he became very reclusive, and he said that this feels to him like indicative of his mental status and where he's at emotionally. And he's just not sure if he can really, be in a relationship the way that he feels that I deserve.
So thank him for his honesty.
And then he said that he still wants to be in my life, and he's not sure what that looks like. And so I just wanted some of your input. That's where I'm at.
Be a friend. Give him a call. How are you? How's it going? Send him some funny get well cards. Be a friend.
Okay.
He's been honest with you, and he is deserving of good treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And did you say he had surgery?
He's having it.
He's going to have surgery in about a month.
I got to be honest with you, as a person who just had surgery in March, The lead time up to a surgery is extremely stressful. It's extremely emotionally taxing. There's so many things on your mind. Like, I have children, so I was like, what if something happens to me? What's going to happen to my children? You know, so that may just be it. It just may be after he gets the surgery and he comes through that, it may change. It's a scary thing. Dr. Allen, would you say having a surgery, or looking at coming to a surgery, especially depending on what it is, it's quite scary.
Do you know how I always say, don't ask a man how he feels?
Yeah.
Unless he's puking or bleeding.
Right.
That's the caveat with when you're physically ill, any strokes are good strokes.
Yeah.
So be his friend.
He said to me, you know, that he can see the kind of woman that I am, and he said, you know, I know that you would totally be there for me and be supportive, and you've been so great. And he said, for some reason, it's like, it's a hard thing for me to wrap my head around, you know, someone new being there for me in that way.
What he's saying. So be his friend.
And if he wants to see me, do I see him? Like, what do you think?
Of course.
Yeah, friends see each other. Be his friend, for real.
But don't expect sex or commitment. Expect friendship. Let him run the show.
Okay.
All right.
He's been honest, right. And that's refreshing.
Yes, very.
Yeah, he has. He has. He's
good.
A great man.
Thanks so much, caller. Good luck.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you so much for taking my call. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
I ended a relationship about 2 weeks ago. We had been dating about 7 or 8 months.
What did you end it for?
I'm sorry?
What did you end it for?
He shared with me like 2 or 3 months into the relationship that he didn't want to get married or have children.
Wow, that's big.
Why?
That's big. Did you already start having sex with him? How intimate were you?
I had given him oral sex.
A blowjob?
Yes.
That's intercourse.
Correct.
Give hand jobs.
Well, at the time that he shared that with me, I wasn't 100% sure what my long-term goals were. And he said, I don't expect you to know for sure. I just ask that when you do know that you let me know. And so about, 2 weeks ago before I ended it, I just really had like a moment of clarity and knew that my truth is that I do want a family and to be married.
Yes, but you had already, you had already signaled him that you wanted to use him sexually. And that doesn't go over very well with men that want to marry. See, may I suggest that you act as if you're aiming towards marriage until you've dated 3 times and know you don't want to marry him. Then if you want to turn it into a hookup, do it. But to start a potential relationship with intercourse, like a blowjob, what you're doing is you're offsetting when it's ready to negotiate a monogamous continuous. Well, why did you give me sex then?
No, we didn't have intercourse. I didn't give him the blowjob until we had been dating about 6 months.
Till you had a commitment. It isn't how long you've dated him.
Yes, I did have a commitment.
Okay, so you ended it then because he wasn't enough.
Correct.
All right, well, that's normal growth. That's organic failure. The plant died.
Correct. So I have put myself back on a dating website and reconnected with a woman matchmaker who was who was setting me up on dates.
Fine.
And I have my first date since the breakup on Sunday.
So what's the problem?
My question is,
yeah,
can I have sex with my ex now?
If you and he are lovers, were you good sexually?
Pardon me?
Were you a compatible couple sexually?
Yes, very much so.
And for both of you it was good?
Yes.
So what is it he didn't have?
He didn't want to have children
ever. That's right. Got it. You know what? This is what I do. I say, if you want to be a sexual couple and you've already given it the shot of trying to be in a good relationship, I have no problem with that. That's hooking. That's genuine hooking up.
And do you suggest waiting any particular period of time before contacting him? Or what would how would I go about seeing if he would even be open for that?
You would say, I have a request to make of you that's very sensitive. Is it convenient for you to hear me now? And he would say, what would he say?
What would he say?
Yeah, he'd say, yeah, what is it?
Uh-huh.
You know what? We're not compatible for marriage because you don't want to be married and have kids. But I thought we had a smashing sex life. What do you think? And he would say?
Yes, I agree.
So are you interested in being lovers? And what do you think he would say?
Well, I guess one of my concerns is that he may not be comfortable with being sexually involved and knowing that I'm dating other people. He said he's only, like, pursued one person at a time, so I'm not sure if he would be comfortable or think that's a good idea.
You've already answered your question. He's not up for hooking up. You can ask anything you want, but it doesn't sound like you'll get a yes.
Okay, but could I still, like, have the discussion with him to see if...
Yes, I said you can do just what I just did with you.
And do you... So can I contact him any time, or is there any
There's
nothing.
You're not boyfriend-girlfriend. You're simply friends. Your relationship wasn't compatible, and you want him as a lover. You have a right to want him as a lover.
Okay.
See, as long as you know that's what he is, and he knows it.
Right.
But he may not want to do that.
Right.
But that's, you know, ask him.
Okay.
Thanks, okay. Caller.
Sure.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
I do. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question about online dating.
What is it?
I was in a three-year relationship, and I've been dating now for a few months, and I've been on Tinder, then I stopped that, and Bumble.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say 98% of the men on there, I've matched with dozens of them. They just message, and then if I give them my phone number, they'll text. I've actually met up with them before even talking. Like, nobody talks on the phone. Everybody messages, and then they only want to go to coffee or cocktails, and I'm sober, so the cocktails are kind of weird. And
okay.
I just want to know why...
Do they
There's
do that?
Like no phone calls and dates.
Because talking voice is a sensuous instrument. Texting, mm-hmm. emailing, faxing, snail mailing is much more left lobe. Masculine mm-hmm. people, many men, really do not want to expose their feelings. And so they mm-hmm. like doing left lobe communication, which is texting, emailing. When you talk on the phone, you're getting as close to sensuousness as you can without smelling each other. And smelling mm-hmm. is a big deal. Pheromone exchange, bonding.
So I have a question. You're off of Tinder now, which I congratulate you. And you're on which now? Which sites are you on?
Bumble. So Bumble was started by a woman who used to work for Tinder. And
oh, yeah.
It's the same thing, except women have to send a little smiley face or a line first before the guys can
That's
actually respond.
Fine.
And then it's the same thing.
Okay, great. So what city are you in, if I can ask you that? And if you don't want to tell me the city, just give me the state.
I'm in Seattle. Sometimes I'm in California and L.A., but I'm in Seattle right now.
Oh, my God. I love Washington. I just got back from there. Oh, it was like heaven.
It's beautiful.
I want to make a suggestion, and you may at first be a little shocked by it. If I was you, I would try a different caliber of man, and here's the caliber I would try. I would try uh-huh. Date a Cowboy and FarmersOnly.com. Now, don't laugh, because these men...
Did you say gay cowboy?
No, date a cowboy.
Oh, date a cowboy.
D-A-T-E, date a cowboy, and FarmersOnly.com, and I'll tell you why. There is a different mindset there. These are people that are... More well, some of them are just people that are looking for people that are more down to earth, marriage minded, and things of that nature. Really, honestly, I mean, it's not.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't deem it a swinger site like Tinder. I would definitely
yeah.
deem it a more serious dating site. These are people that are like, you know, I own a ranch. I'm looking for this, and the only reason I know is a girlfriend of mine came and said, "Can you help me find somebody?" I've been on all these dating sites, and she laughed when I told her to try this, and they're engaged now. They're engaged.
No way, I'll try it.
They're engaged. She's got a ring, and it's only been about 6 months. So, yeah, Don't laugh at it, you know. They're not really all cowboys and they're not really all farmers, but they are a different mindset.
So you think a lot of it is like the fact that it's these swipey sites? Because I literally haven't gotten one phone call. I've had dozens of connections. I haven't had one phone call. And I actually had a guy tell me, girls just want free dinner, so I only do drinks or cocktails. And yeah. I'm sober. So it's just, it's kind of like a lot to get dressed and get an outfit and show up and have like a cappuccino. You know what I mean?
I think it definitely is the sites you're on, and I hate to say that, but I think that a lot of the people on those sites are flashy and plastic and are really looking to hook up. And that's just from the standpoint of somebody who helps people find people to date. You know.
And what's the stance, you guys, on as far as if I like don't want to just meet up and have like a coffee or drinks, is that being masculine to be like, I mean, I won't say it to them necessarily, but
no,
you know what I
being,
mean? Or
it's being distant. What you're doing is already setting up the boundaries for a situation in which you're applying for the job of being a feminine woman. You see, it sounds a little gold diggerish, if you don't mind my saying so.
To not want to go for coffee?
Yeah, well, not going for coffee because you dressed up and you want more product demonstrated on the other side.
I think.
I guess I feel on coffee days. And then the other thing is, when I go to with guys that drink, they just drink, and I'm sitting there having Diet Coke. I think I feel more like I'm being interviewed to decide if they really want to date me when
I've
it's like
got,
a coffee date. Like they're like, well, I'll meet her, and then if I like her, then I'll take her on a real date.
Those dates are interviews. You're being interviewed for the possibility of something serious.
I'm going to agree. Yeah. And here's the other thing, too. A coffee date, okay, now here's the thing. If you don't like the situation, it's real easy for you to step out, too. Coffee date doesn't have to be more than 20 or 30 minutes. So instead of speed dating, which we've seen people do, why not coffee date? What's the big deal? And you don't have to get all, like, to the nines. Just be yourself.
Right.
Be yourself
right.
On a coffee date. You know, even if you have a ponytail and a pair of cute sandals and a little pair of, you know, shorts or something and you're just cash, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to look like a movie star to go on a coffee date. Besides that, I mean, one day he's going to wake up and you're not going to be to the nines. That's just the way it is. So if he likes you, he likes you. A lot of it, you know, I mean, sometimes Dr. Allen says it. Are you using your ears to pick? Because if you're not, you're in trouble. I mean, Dr. Allen's got this down. She's got it on lock. You got to listen to find the guy. You know, the pretty outside package is good, but everybody's chasing that. How about the guy that's just your regular Joe who's got just a big, great heart? You know? I mean, when I really meet people now, I listen to what Dr. Allen said, and I hear them with my ears, and sometimes they work their way into my heart in seconds, because they're real.
Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, we might have missed your call, and if we did, call on back, 323-203-0815. So we've only got a little bit left. We've got about 20 minutes. If you want to get your calls in, you better do it now, because when it comes close to the end, we can't get to you.
What was that question you were going to ask?
Oh, yes. So she says, the guy I recently hooked up with, no intercourse or sex. He and I have a bunch of mutual friends. He's not a stranger. However, we live in different states, and he is giving me mixed signals. One moment he's flirting and saying how things would be different if I lived in the same state and telling me I'm beautiful and all this. And the next moment he's saying he doesn't want a long-distance relationship because he wants things to develop. The next thing, oh, we've got a call. We have to take the calls first. I'm sorry, Facebookers. We'll get you. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes.
Turn your radio down.
Radio.
Hello?
Hi. What can I do for you?
Oh, hi, Dr. Allen?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Oh, I'm so sad. Okay. I have actually several questions about the man who has been seeing me for three times. He's
14 years older, retired, does volunteer and work. And first date was really good. He drove down to see me. We're about 40 to 50 minutes away from each other. And everything went well.
What's your problem? So
yes.
What's your problem?
The problem is, at the beginning of the second date, he volunteered. He told me that a girl he dated before didn't want to pay for anything, but complained about him using Groupon. And I thought to myself, why are you telling me this? You want me to pay for something? But I didn't say anything. Anyway, so finally, I called and asked him, and I talked about what he told me, you know, about his ex-girlfriend. I said, I believe I should ask you about your expectation. Do you want to go Dutch? And then he said, with you? No, I'm a very traditional man. You know, I've been treating you well, this and that. But then he said that, wouldn't you think it's reasonable if I spend $100 and my date will spend a dollar? Let's see, after dinner, I pay for the dinner, and then we stop by a frozen yogurt.
Let me tell you, wait. There are three styles of relationships, and you have to negotiate each one of them. One of them is a convenience where people split the bill for everything, the hotel room, the vacation, the food. They give gifts. The gifts are paid totally by the gift giver, but that's one style of relationship.
Okay.
Second style is codependent. That's where somebody is codependently bonded to their partner and buys love, buys it. A sugar daddy, gold digger, sugar mama, gold digger. That's
okay.
A codependency. The third one is called a covenant. It's actually used to be a legal choice in Louisiana, Arizona, Minnesota, and Michigan. Now it's only a legal choice after you marry in Louisiana. That's one where somebody signs a contract to be the payer. They pay for the relationship, and the other person doesn't go to work but stays at home and is the homemaker. That's called a covenant. So when you date a man, the date is designed to court you, is whoever asks whoever out courting them pays for the date. If you're chasing him, you pay for it. If he's chasing you, you do. But when it comes time to negotiate longevity, monogamy, and continuity, from that time on, you've got to redesign the finances to either a convenience, split the bill, a codependency, somebody buys love by letting the other person not pay. And the third one is splitting the system. This one is usually designed for getting married. But before that, it often works out where he says, I want you to quit your job, I'll get engaged to you, and we will travel, we'll do this, and you'll be my companion. A covenant. So what style of relationship do you want?
Oh, I want to be married someday.
I know that, but what do you want to start out with? Do you want him to, when he asks you out, to pay for the date? Or when you ask him out? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's called courtship. That is in a system. The system comes in when he asks you to stop dating others and stop, you know, and start negotiating with him for sex, for long-term goals, for continuity. It's when you start to build, usually by 6 months into a relationship. So this man was saying, I want a relationship that is convenient. Now, if he wants that all the time, All he's got to do is find a woman who's willing to do a convenience. There's nothing wrong with it, except both people have to want it.
That's true. That's what I thought. But then he also offered, he also said, I quote, I've accumulated a lot of wealth. I will want you to sign a prenup so I could be fair with my children.
The best,
so it's confusing.
No, there's nothing confusing about a prenup, especially in California where they're ironclad. A prenup is the way to protect a marriage from bad feelings, because any good businessman knows a contract is as good as its out clause. What's it going to take to get out of this contract? So that's what prenups are about. And postnups. Postnups are created, usually the couple grows and they earn money and she wants to set up a dress store. So they get a postnuptial agreement separating their property without getting divorced. It's a bifurcated divorce. You stay married and you get your money. Or some people don't stay married and split their money. So there's all kinds of ways to put your money together or take it apart. So that's what he was talking about. There's nothing wrong with the prenup because people who have made money are often afraid to lose it.
Also, but you should really seek an attorney's advice for the state that you live in, because you have the right to counsel before you sign anything like that. You should seek legal counsel if that becomes the issue.
Okay.
I agree, but we only see each other 3 times. It's a little too soon,
No,
he's telling you something.
He's interviewing you for a relationship, and he does not want to waste time chitty-chatting around. Men who are men want to know what you want and what you don't want to see if they're interested in it. So I don't want you to interview him. You have the veto right, but he has the interview right to find out where you're coming from.
Mm. Is he?
Yeah, I did say yes. I will sign. Of course, I need to look at it first. But
no,
the
you
third
need to look
date,
at
it
with your attorney.
Now, is this gentleman a businessman?
He was kind of like a consultant type. He's retired.
He knows the value of a contract, and he also knows the value of getting to the bottom line. He doesn't want to waste time.
Okay, so don't be insulted by this.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thanks, caller.
Bye. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, we missed you. 323-203-0815. All right, Dr. Allen,
yes?
I'm in England. So there's no way I get to call into the show, but I listen to the show and I'm excited about it. And I've been reading Getting to I Do, which is a revelation. I'm now putting myself out there trying to meet people with internet dating as the really only way, that's the really only way with my life. What are the rules, though? I'm a little confused with regard to the man doing the chasing. We have a call. Let's grab it. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I want to ask Dr. Allen, how do you write a hi bye letter to somebody I broke up with?
Very easily. You get out a paper and a pencil, and you write a paragraph of everything you liked about him at the beginning. And then you write the second paragraph, which is the pain of making the mistake of dumping him and what your life is not like now or what it is like and you don't like it. And the third paragraph is what you don't want to do. I don't want my goodbye message to hold up. Now you go to the fourth paragraph. I want to renegotiate. I want to take back my reasons for dumping you. And The fifth paragraph is, I really want you to know I appreciate the painful lesson I learned at being impulsive or gold digger or whatever I was, because I've lost you, and now I'm writing this letter to see if perhaps you might accept my amends. You know the difference between an amends and an apology? An apology, you knew you were doing something stupid. With an amends, you did something and then found out it was stupid. So you go back in and say, I made a mistake. I want
okay.
people, do you see? So did you make a mistake when you dumped him?
Okay. Do I also wait 8 weeks before I write it?
No, you made the mistake.
Okay, so I can send it out now anytime.
Absolutely.
I don't have to wait.
This one is not for a man that's dumped you. You dumped
right.
him. You're making an amends to him for a mistake.
Okay. I was wondering, is the high bi letter effective for a man who is more yin energy?
It's effective for anybody that can read your letter. A yin
okay.
energy feminine man, it's if you dated him and you liked him, the first thing you'll say is, I loved your sensitivity, your creativity. It's wonderful. And yes, you did cry a little bit too much in the movies, but I really appreciated it, your sensitivity. Second paragraph. But it was painful when you said, I was mean to you and you couldn't date me anymore. That was very painful. Third paragraph, I don't want to lose sensitive people like you. Fourth paragraph, I want to tell you I made a mistake. And the fifth paragraph, one thing I can tell you is I'm very, very grateful that you took care of yourself and showed me that I made a mistake. You see, so a high-bi letter can be used for different reasons. And they can,
okay.
they can be given to sensitive people as well as intellectual people, yang people, yin people.
And after I send a letter, I give them 8 weeks to
you
reply?
You got it. That's the
okay.
point. You don't give up on him until he hasn't called you for 8 weeks, or he has notified you that he doesn't want to take another chance.
Okay, so is it not recommended for me to see him before I send a letter? Because we have, I have some of my stuff at his place, and I was wondering, if should I pick up my stuff after I sent the letter?
That's a sign that you're dumping him some more.
Okay. So I should wait for the 8 weeks after I send the letter. If he doesn't reply after 8 weeks.
If you want him back, I wouldn't ask for my things back. And when he wants you out of his life, he will call you and say, come and get your things.
Right.
Okay?
Okay. So I should just write the letter, send it, wait for 8 weeks.
You got it. And if you want to, you can call the station here next time or sometime
yeah.
and read your high bi, and I'll show you how it applies here, where you are working to get somebody back, you know, that you dumped.
Oh, that would be awesome, Dr. Allen. That would be really cool.
Okay. Okay, I will
right.
do that. Once I Good. Finish writing it, I will call back and read it to you.
Okay.
Great caller.
Okay, thank
you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so back to internet dating. Internet dating,
yes.
Dr. Allen, on terms of letting the man do the chasing, I don't know. Should I not approach them online, or is favoriting
Look,
them enough? What
do I
do?
Say,
okay.
Like on Tinder or other things, like Match.com,
right.
ranking, if the system you're using
mm-hmm.
allows you to flag the other person.
Like a wink or a smile
wink
or whatever.
Or whatever you have to do. I support that. I have not seen it bad.
Okay.
But if you chase and chase and chase the same person, that's not good.
Okay, so that's really the dividing line here for our gal in England. Don't keep chasing the same guy. Send a wink. If he doesn't respond, just move on.
Done.
Makes sense. Now, one of the other things I think these girls are having a problem with, and one of our callers mentioned it, was a lot of guys just wanting to text and not really go on a date. What's that about, Dr. Allen?
What that about? I've already said men particularly don't want to show too much feeling and emotion, and voices are voice boxes.
But why are they on a dating site? I guess is the question that two of our girls
They're
on here.
They're on the dating site because they want a woman who, for at least a little while, maybe a week or two, to exchange data and information and answer interview questions from a left lobe intellectual point of view. Then I advise the woman or the man, whichever wants it, to say, I really have appreciated our cranial, you know, intellectual exchange of data, but I'm not going to answer anymore. I would be much more attracted and much more feeling-centered if I heard voices and communicated like that a significant amount of the time. I'm not interested in constant emails, texts, faxes, whatever.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's funny. Okay, so one of our gals just sent an instant message, and she said, yes, okay, so about two weeks of communication is okay.
Yes.
But then, Dr. Allen, you just have to go on and just say, I'm not going to keep doing this.
No, you say you have every right to use texting, emailing, and fax and whatever. However, it turns me off. And that doesn't turn me on to be turned off.
Okay, she just said, thank you, Dr. Allen. I get it. We've got a call. Let's take it, doctor.
Okay.
Hey, caller, you're on the line with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Yes.
What is it?
It was kind of a little similar to the last one, but I had broken up with a man and then realized it was a
mistake,
and I reached out to him once, and then
how did you reach out to him? I'm showing high buys. The high buy letter, four paragraphs, are an overview of the goods and the bads in the relationship. The fifth paragraph is thank you for the experience that taught me that I made a mistake and to watch it in the future.
Mm-hmm. Should I still send him one, even though I had, you know, I'm kind of messed up just by texting him about some dinner or something. He did take me out to lunch on my birthday, but then he didn't call me again, so.
Well, that was nice. Do you want him back?
Yes.
Well, then write the hi-bye letter. First paragraph, everything you like. Second paragraph, the pain of what you did. You might put it into details. The third paragraph, I don't want to push people like you out of my life. The fourth paragraph, I want you or someone like you to come back. And fifth paragraph, thank you so much for understanding that I made a mistake. And if you're willing to give me another chance, I'm here.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for... What did you say? Thank you so much for
bringing me this painful lesson so that I might learn not to be so instantaneously punitive.
Okay. That's really great. And then he's staying at a house out of the area, but I don't know the address. Should I just email it to him?
Email it. Absolutely. Nothing wrong. Fax it, text it, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And can I ask you another question?
Let's see. What time is it?
Real quick. Mm-hmm. Real quick.
Fast.
Oh, okay. Just real quick on dating. Like if a guy wants you to drive to him, should I just say, I feel more comfortable if you pick me up? Or what do you feel about asking? When a man
first
asks
of all,
you to meet him, or if he asks you to meet him at his house,
find out
him there.
If he's lost his license or he's temporarily blind. Check the motivation for his not wanting to drive. If it's I don't want to drive because I think women use men, you know, then you might say you have a right to that belief. But if you want to make some inroads on relating to me, I want to be cherished by you picking me up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay, so if he says, meet me somewhere, I should say that. Say that to him.
Well, first find out why he can't drive. Because there are people that have lost their license. You do not want him to drive.
Gotta go. Thanks, caller.
Okay, thank
Bye.
You.
All right, Dr. Allen, we're done. I can't believe it's over.
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is
irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.